More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, finding the light. Are you struggling to find joy? We're going to help you cultivate a happier, healthier, holier life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about joy. Would you like to be a more joyful person? Well, who wouldn't, right? Well, maybe there are challenges, though, in your life or relationships that are stealing your joy. What's making it hard for you to be the joyful person you'd like to be? Let us help you find the answers you're looking for. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think that now more than ever, this is a topic that we need to look at from the real perspective of what God and His Church teaches us, and also really look at reflectively in our own souls and in the lives of those we're living with. I think that right now people have dealt with a lot of difficulty, a lot of angst. A lot of people that I'm talking to are just saying they're completely exhausted, so they feel like they have lost a sense of joy. And yet, it's something we long for more than ever. And I feel like it's an opportunity that as much as the world has gone through in the last while here, it's an opportunity that the Holy Spirit's giving us to say, hold on a second. You know, maybe there's a way to find joy that is less connected to all the craziness life has to offer us, all the busyness life has to offer us, all the concerns that life throws at us. Maybe this longing that we're feeling inside of us is something that God really wants to fill. I think it is.
I think it absolutely is. But I think it all comes back down to understanding what joy really is. And what it means to be a more joyful person. We have a tendency to conflate joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. They're similar things, but they are different. We'll talk about that difference in just a moment. But regardless, if you would like to be a more joyful person, if you would like to overcome the challenges that are stealing your joy in your life or relationships, we want to help you experience more joy in your life in general. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, I really want to go back to something that you were saying about this conflation of happiness and joy, and people are probably going to say, well, that means you're just going to like beat some holy drum at me and tell me that I can't ever be happy and God doesn't want me to be happy. And that's not true. And one of the things that we do here every day on More to Life is we take a look at how St. John Paul II's theology of the body informs what's going on in our lives, and especially the topic of the day. And today, as we look at this topic of joy, we see that the theology of the body does remind us that there is a big difference between joy and mere happiness. We tend to think that joy is the product of stepping away from life, finding little ways to enjoy ourselves, or step away from stress. And while that can be important, and boy, do we all want it, the feeling that we get from doing that isn't actually joy. It's happiness. And happiness is good. It's wonderful. But unfortunately, it is fleeting because happiness only lasts as long as the pleasure sticks around or the stress stays away or the conflict can be avoided. Joy, on the other hand, is the fruit that comes from intentionally trying to do whatever you can to live a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life every day.
I want to hit those qualities again. Meaningfulness refers to using my gifts and talents in a way that makes me feel like I can make a difference in my life, in the lives of others, and I can feel good because of that. Intimacy refers to my building relationships and making the relationships I have healthier and stronger. And virtue doesn't just mean being nice, it means being strong. It means being effective. And joy then comes from knowing that I can use what God's given me to make a positive difference, that I can use whatever I'm going through to draw closer to the people that God has placed in my life, and I can use whatever I'm going through to grow and become a healthier, stronger, godlier person. Joy is the quality that allows us to have a deeper sense of rightness and contentment about our lives, even when things are a little crazy or not going the way we'd like. You know, whether things are going the way we'd like or not in this particular moment, or even when we feel sad or frustrated or upset, joy enables us to look at the bigger picture. It allows us to feel a sense of peace or contentment about where we've been and where we're going. You know, a joyful person is able to find meaningfulness in whatever they're going through. They look for ways to use their experiences, good and bad, to draw closer to the people they love. And they try hard to see everything they go through as an opportunity to learn something, to become a better, stronger, healthier version of themselves. While other people endure life and kind of just white-knuckle their way through the problems they face, joyful people live life up and down, and they learn from those struggles. You know, unlike happiness, which is just about pursuing pleasure and avoiding stress, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you can't pursue it directly by doing this thing or avoiding that thing. Cultivating joy means dedicating yourself to a life of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, regardless of your circumstances.
Well, and of course, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue first related to God, you know, really finding that intimacy with God, and then walking those steps every day. And I give glory to God that finding joy, exercising the muscle that gives us joy and cultivates it in our lives, is something that we can learn, something we can practice every day and get good at and let it become part of us. Because if it was just, you know, oh, well, she's just a joyful person. She was just born that way. He was just born that way. Boy, would I be in trouble, because I came from a truly joyless household. But as an adult, I had the longing for more joy in my life. It didn't come overnight. It wasn't something that the Holy Spirit just plopped down on in me, although I found great elation as I experienced more and more of my relationship with God. Becoming more joyful, finding the peace in that joy, was something that I've had to work on every day of my adult life. And then I get to stand back and watch God work it out in my life. And we've gone through some really tragic and difficult times. But knowing that we can come back to this base practice of finding more meaningfulness, finding the meaningfulness in the struggle or in what God wants us to do next, that intimacy with God. Am I going deeper in my relationship with God every day? Am I reaching out to the people He's put in my life? And that virtue, how am I living by virtue instead of living by fear or by grief or by just want to run away from everything? There are things that we can actively do. And when we know that, we feel empowered, we can connect with the Holy Spirit, and we can find joy in our days.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about helping you find more joy in your life. And, you know, there's a real paradox with joy, because, you know, because we conflate it with happiness, we tend to think that I can either be happy or sad, or happy or angry, or happy or frustrated. The reality is, you can be joyful even when you're sad or angry or frustrated. Because, again, because joy is not so much a feeling as it is a state of being. That idea that I see where I've been and I see where I'm going and I see how I can use these experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, to lead a more meaningful, intimate, or virtuous life. And even when I'm frustrated or sad or struggling, if I can see how I can use this to live more of the life God wants for me or become more of the person that God is calling me to be, I can be joyful even in that less than desirable experience. And like I said, there's a real paradox in that. It does not mean slapping a smiley face on and pretending things are better than they are. It means using whatever you've got as an opportunity to see how you can make a positive difference in the lives of those around you, to draw closer to the people who love you and the God who loves you, and to become a stronger, healthier person, not in spite of, but because of the thing you're going through.
But that sounds like a panacea. And many of us are sitting here today saying, but how do I do that in the midst of this tragedy I'm going through, in the midst of economic hardship, in the midst of marital turmoil, in the midst of the children that are causing us all sorts of concern and frustration, in the midst of the job that's sucking the life out of me, or those relationships in my extended family that just drain me? Those are all questions that we all have to deal with day to day. Let's talk about how to practically apply finding and living in joy to your life circumstances, to whatever's draining you or driving you crazy or frustrating you or frightening you. Let's talk about it today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825, so that we can connect you with God's grace and some very practical tools to use.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you tell us that joy is a fruit of living in your Holy Spirit. And we struggle, though, to connect with that joy often. The problems and challenges that we face threaten to separate us from you, make us feel powerless and stuck, and make us feel like there's nothing we can do except white-knuckle our way through things and hopefully just come out the other end at one piece. But you show us that there is more to even struggles than just getting through, that we can be joyful in good times and in bad by turning to you and asking you to teach us to respond to these challenges in a way that allow us to pursue greater meaningfulness and intimacy and virtue. And so we bring these challenges that we're going through in our lives and relationships to you, Lord, and we ask you to help us to respond to them in ways that help us to be truly joyful, to have that sense of rightness about where we've been and where you are leading us. We ask you, Lord, to take our hand and lead us to the joy that you have in your heart for us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Finding the Light, as we talk about discovering that light of joy in our lives. How can we become happier, healthier, holier people, and more joyful in general? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Tell us what situations in your life or relationships are stealing your joy, and let us help you bring a little more joy back into your day.
Let's talk now with Priscilla, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado on 1060 AM Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, Priscilla. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having your program. It has really helped me in the last couple of years.
I'm so glad. What can we do for you today?
All right. I have a list of things, and I'm hoping to make it simple and concise for you guys. So I have been at the same employer for 17 years. In about 3 years ago, I realized, well, I always knew, but I realized that he's a very immature and imprudent employer. Some of the examples that I struggle with is that he creates divisive and unhealthy competition between people that have the same position that I have. Mm-hmm. He also creates gossip and drama. I have guilt over taking time off. And it's just creating a lot of anxiety and stress. I have tried to practice your healthy boundaries practices, but then that, it seems like he has issues with abandonment from childhood, and he projected that into the professional relationship that I have with him, and it almost backlash at me in different levels, so I just need help finding the joy, because I do love what I do for a living, and I love the people that I work for, my clients, and I'm just dealing with a lot of anxiety right now.
Now, I'm glad that you love the clients that you have and that you love what you do for a living, but your boss is really causing you a lot of stress. Have you prayed and discerned about whether God's asking you to move these talents to another...
Yes.
Another sales position where you can be doing the same thing? And what's your sense on that?
Well, the biggest challenge is going to be the not being able to compete or take my clients due to the two-year hold. I can't remember what that has a technical name.
Yeah, the non-compete clause, sure.
I understand. So yes. let me throw this out to you, Priscilla. So when you're discerning anything... All right. Whether you're talking about how to make the situation you're in better, or you're talking about making a change, it comes down to those three qualities that we mentioned earlier in the program: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. So when you are praying about it, what I'm going to suggest that you do is really reflect on sort of those qualities on two levels. First of all, every day, how can you make a positive difference in your workplace, which is meaningfulness? How can you use the gifts and talents and skills and insights that God's given you to make a positive difference in some way in your workplace? Secondly, how can you make those relationships healthier or stronger, even in small ways? By being a blessing to others, by setting boundaries when you need to. How do you address those relationship things? What's one small thing you can do? And then thirdly, whatever happens, even when your boss behaves immaturely or is frustrating, how can you respond to that in a way that glorifies God, works for the good of everybody involved, and helps you be your best self? One way to handle that is to get a notebook and write down the frustrating things that your boss might do. And write out, if you could exhibit these qualities of meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue, how do you wish you could respond? What do you think would be your response if you could stay in your best self? And write that out, actually script it out. And every day when you wake up in the morning, assume that some of those things are going to happen. So you take out the notebook and you look at the list and you say, okay, this is what I know has happened, probably going to happen again sometime soon. This is how I'd like to respond to that. And you mentally rehearse those alternative responses so that you have a greater likelihood of being able to do it. And if you're able every day to really reflect a little bit on how you can bring more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue into the situation, you're going to experience more joy, because you're going to be able to feel like you are rising to the challenges that are coming up for you in the face of your work. Now, as you continue to pray about this, you want to keep asking God, Lord, is there another place that I could pursue greater meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue in my professional life? If so, show me where that would be and how to do it.
And help me to get over any fear I have of starting in a new role. It's scary to know that I've worked 17 years to build up this client base and that I can count on that. But are you making me uncomfortable so that I can move forward and do something brand new that you're seriously going to bless because it's where you want me to go? Or is this a time where you just want me to learn to build up this joy muscle by being all of these things in the position you've had me in for 17 years? Is there a way that I can approach this boss who has these childhood issues in a way that works for his good as well as my good? And Lord, give me the courage to know what I need to do even when it scares me. So I need a vacation, Lord, but the boss makes it really scary to do that because of the competition he places here. Show me how you want me to handle that. So invite yourself to answer the Holy Spirit by going into a more intimate relationship with God first, and then exercising that muscle just a little bit every day, writing it down, knowing how you're going to handle it, so that you feel more sure of yourself and more sure of God as you pursue this.
So that gives you a short-term strategy for experiencing more joy in the workplace and a longer-term strategy for discerning where God wants you ultimately to be able to pursue the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue he wants for your life. We talk more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail, which is a book all about discerning how to experience greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. You can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com if you want more support on that. Thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we are taking your calls about being a more joyful person in the circumstances you find yourself in. What challenges in your life or relationships are stealing your joy? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking to you about joy today. Would you like to be a more joyful person? What challenges in your life or relationships are stealing your joy? Is there something that's making it difficult to be that joyful person you'd like to be? Or maybe you got somebody in your life who is joyless and sucking all the joy out of your life. Well, let's talk about how to respond to that gracefully and be the joyful person that God is calling you to be, that he wants you to be. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Donna Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Donna Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. Thank you. I have more of a story of hope about joy, and I'll tell you briefly. In 2009, our youngest child, Donnie, was killed in a car accident at age 21.
I'm so sorry.
We had the consolation, thank you, of knowing that he died in a state of grace. He was a very active Catholic, and he was on a service trip with his community from college that at the time. And would return home on Sunday to sing, and he would be a precipitate minister at Mass. So he truly was very, very involved. at his funeral, Bishop McFadden, the late Bishop McFadden, God rest him, he was a good friend of Johnny's because he'd been the president at his high school when Johnny was there. And he came up to me and assured me that he knew Johnny was safe and that I should hold on to that. And I have ever since, and so did my husband and so forth. So jump ahead a couple more years, and my other son got married, and 2 years after that, they gave birth to their first child, named Johnny, after my son. And he, we went to the hospital to see the baby the first day, and my son, Danny, put the baby in my arms, and I felt this feeling, like this rush of air coming up, like just, and I started gasping, and I didn't understand what it was, and then all of a sudden I realized it was joy.
Oh.
I think that I didn't say this out loud, but I think that I always thought that wouldn't be mine again, you know, that after losing this precious son, I would never feel it again. But my call is, because I want to offer hope, hold on tight to God. Hold his hands. Picture yourself doing that as you go forward and carry whatever cross it is you're carrying. Because when it's in his good time, he'll bring that back to you. Don't worry. Try. Keep close to God. I think that's the secret. And I've said ever since that a close relationship with God is the only path out of grief.
Amen.
Donna, thank you so much
Donna
for that
Marie,
call.
Thank you.
God bless you. And we certainly thank you for your witness and your story of encouragement. And we'll add you and your family to our More to Life prayer list, that God would continue to lead you on a path of joy. With that, we have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about being more joyful and overcoming the challenges in your life and relationships that are stealing your joy. Let's talk it out, 877-573-7825.
If you have sustained conversation with non-Catholic Christians, one of the things that always comes up is, why do you confess to a priest? Why would you go to a priest when you can go straight to God? I would say, well, look, I went to Jesus, I looked at his word, and it told me to go to a priest. It is interesting. One of the first things you notice right towards the end of the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself determined to forgive and retain sins through human intermediaries. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And Jesus commissioned his apostles on earth to speak in his name, to forgive sins or retain sins, not just metaphorically, but metaphysically.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence, awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man. While the police were coming, the ambulance, they removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the biggest challenges facing newly married couples is when you have your first or your next baby. Here are 3 steps to help you work out this question together. Step 1, ask yourself, what does God want? God has a plan for your family, and the closer you follow God's will, the happier you'll be. Pray about it as a couple, consistently and openly. Step 2, practice what the church calls responsible parenthood. Openness to life doesn't mean just openness to conception. It also means meeting the true needs of the children you have. Ask God if you have the emotional, relational, and temporal resources to raise another child happily in his love. And step 3, always stay open to what God wants to give. Even if you've discerned that this isn't the time for a baby, avoid the attitude of, we're done.
fertility is a gift. Don't block God's gifts with artificial means. For more guidance on Catholic family planning, visit moretoliferadio.com.
It gives us great joy to be with you today on More to Life on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and our show today is titled Finding the Light, as we talk about the challenge of finding that light of joy. And if you are struggling with some situation in your life or relationships that's stealing your joy, or if you have somebody in your life who is sucking all the joy out of your life, or you're just struggling in general to be that joyful person that you'd like to be, let's talk about what that means in your unique circumstances and help you experience the joy of the Lord. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Let's end this hour a little more joyfully than we began it today on More to Life. Again, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, John. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on, man?
Hi, Dr. Popcheck. So I was just listening to your program, and my wife and I have we've been having some struggles in our marriage. But as far as joy is concerned, she's been having a hard time finding her joy in life. And, you know, so I try to create a joyful atmosphere in our home. We have two small children.
And how small are they?
I have a 4 and a 2-year-old, just turned 4 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So, you know, we try to have music and dancing, and, you know, we listen to praise, worship songs and things like that. And when my wife comes home, you know, she may have been having a bad day, and she comes home sort of despondent, and the atmosphere instantly changes. Like, the music goes off. There may be some yelling involved and some you know, short-temperedness, and basically a kind of a hard situation to find joy or to create a joyful atmosphere. And I was just wondering if you could speak on that a little bit, how I may be able to approach that situation, or maybe communicate, you know, how I'm feeling in those situations.
Yeah, so you started off by saying you're having some struggles in your marriage. Is that compounding this, or is this the problem in your marriage that you're talking about?
This is one of the problems, and it's not necessarily compounding it, but it is some of the things that we need to communicate more about. So it's just kind of one of those things that is.
So how have you tried to address this with her so far, and how has she responded to those attempts?
Well, there hasn't been much of a response.
What have you tried to say? Like, how have you tried to approach it?
Well, I've talked to her, you know, kind of offline, her and I, without the, you know, the kids around, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I kind of, how I explained it to you, how I, you know, trying to have a, you know, a joyful atmosphere in our home, and how that's really important to me, and kind of how I was before, you know, we started dating and then eventually got married, and how I always tried to find positive and joyful things in life, and how it's difficult to do that. And it's, There's never really a back and forth when it comes to talking about grace and joy and finding those.
What does she say, though? Whenever you describe it to her the way you do, how does she respond? What does she say?
She says things. Well, if she responds at all, she you know, sometimes she ignores me and kind of just focuses on her phone or social media or something like that. But if she does respond, it's more like, yes, those things are important to me as well. But then the conversation kind of never goes on from there. And
John, are you just trying to handle this yourselves right now, or are you involved?
We have been trying to handle it ourselves, and most recently, you know, after. We had a vacation, and there was kind of a blow up afterwards. And I said we need counseling, and she agreed. And so like through my work, we have a program, and there's some great counselors in our area, and we're actually awaiting a call from a counseling office to kind of go.
Good, because what you're describing to me sounds like depression, honestly. The other thing is you're describing is called stonewalling, right? So when you talk to us, your spouse, or really anybody, and you get that kind of, you know, I'm looking at my phone, I'm not giving you anything back, that's called stonewalling. And that's one of the, John Gottman, who's a very prominent marriage researcher, refers to stonewalling as the fourth horseman of marital apocalypse. I don't mean to scare you, but the point is that when you get to that place, 95% of couples will divorce within 5 years if they don't get appropriate help. So it's a very serious situation that you're dealing with here, where she is, I think, depressed. She doesn't know how to deal with those things with you, and you're not sure how to support her. So it's really important that you begin the conversations, not just by the other thing I would say, though, is you're raising a complaint, right? You're saying, I want to have a more joyful household, and she says, well, that's important to me, too. But I would like you to be more direct and say, you know, honey, you seem like you're really struggling, and I get the feeling that you haven't felt very supported by me. Because I think, John, you're adopting more of the approach of a cheerleader. You want to have a cheerful atmosphere. You want to be you want her to be happier.
Which is great if you're both kind of in it together and you're going through life and you're saying, we want to ramp up the happiness level, the joyful level in our family life, especially for our little ones. And we can all tolerate and enjoy happy music and dancing around and having sort of this party-like atmosphere that works for you, John, because you're connecting with your kids, you're feeling a sense of intimacy there, you're feeling like you have a purpose in increasing the joy in your home. But with her going through what's looking and sounding like a depression, there's a need for her, at least, I'd say for all of you in the family, not just the marriage, to have some serious issues addressed, to figure out how to give her and all of you the support you need to really walk toward a life of joy and health and holiness in this family. Because when somebody is feeling depressed and raw and maybe a little angry, and you walk into this, you know, party atmosphere after a long day of work, it can rub you raw. It can feel awful. And that's what's, you know, triggering the anger and the yelling. And if she comes home to a household that's, you know, having a great party, but dinner's not made, or the laundry's not done, or the sink is full of dishes, or the house is a mess, she's going to go from this depressed state to a furious state very quickly. Now, that doesn't mean you just live in a tomb and keep it nice and quiet for her. That means you start to really work on addressing the underlying situation here so that you can clear the way
but
for
I don't,
joy
I don't
for
want
family.
You to take what Lisa's saying and just, you know, go clean the house and make it better, okay? What we're trying to say is you need to engage her where she's at. Because my sense from the way you've told your story is that you want to create a happy environment, and you're seeing her as a downer, and you're saying, how come you can't just get with the program? Now, that's not your intention, but that, I think, is how you're coming across. And what she's, I think, saying to you by her silence is, I can't trust John to tell him where I'm really at and know that he's going to support me through this. He just wants me to be better, and he thinks there's something wrong with me that I'm not. Right? And so the first thing has to be going to her and saying, you know what, honey? I love you with all of my heart, and I see that you're not happy, and it breaks my heart, and I'm sorry if you haven't felt like I've been here for you. I've tried to be, but I can see that maybe you feel like I haven't been. And I'd like us to talk about what I could do to do a better job supporting you through whatever it is that you're going through so that we could be happier together. If she stares at her phone, I want you to walk over to her and kneel down in front of her and just put your arms on her legs and look at her and say, honey, I need you to put down the phone. This is too important. Please don't ignore me. I love you, and I see that you're miserable, and I want to be a better husband who can support you through this. Please tell me where you're at and what's going on. Now, I'm glad you took the step of initiating therapy. I think that's going to be tremendously important, but I don't want you to wait for that. Because, like I said, between the depression and the stonewalling, this is a very critical situation that you're dealing with, and it needs to start now. So I would really encourage you to approach this directly. The other thing I want you to make sure that when you get hooked up with counseling, you want to make sure that you're working with somebody who is a marriage-friendly therapist. That's not just a descriptor. That's an actual thing. Like, a marriage-friendly therapist is somebody who has actual training and supervision in marriage therapy. There are lots of therapists who say they do relationship counseling or marriage therapy, but they're individual therapists who happen to see couples. They may not have the training and supervision that they need to be good at it. Marriage-friendly therapists have over a 90% success rate. Individual therapists who happen to see couples have about a 30% success rate. It makes a big difference who you go to. Make sure that the person you're connecting with is a marriage-friendly therapist. You can look up people on the marriage-friendly therapist registry at marriagefriendlytherapists.com. So if you're working with somebody in your area, check them out there, or at least ask them what their background is in training and supervision in marriage and family therapy. All of our therapists at CatholicCounselors.com are marriage-friendly therapists as well, if you'd like some to see that way. Healthy couples have. That's why we can be quick to hear, slow to speak, and enables us to be more effective in addressing those kinds of situations. Thank you so much for the call, John. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. With that, we have to go to our break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4.
Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Now, this is one of those scriptures that you read and you think, what the heck?
I just want to scream my head off. That's what makes you think.
What were they on, right? and it doesn't make any sense if you think of joy as the same thing as happiness. Because you're saying, consider it all happiness, brothers, when you experience various trials. Well, that's ridiculous. You can't be happy in the face of trials. But that's not what joy is, all right? Joy, again, is that ability to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, regardless of the circumstances I'm in, so that my life, so that where I've been makes sense and where I'm going makes sense. It's that sense of peace and contentment and rightness that comes from pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And so what James is saying here is that when you experience difficulties, know that it is an opportunity to pursue that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that allows us to experience the Lord's presence, to draw closer to the people that love us, and see what we are capable of through God's grace.
And I'll tell you, that's how we end up embracing the cross, is that we work through this meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And then when we get through the other end of that trial, we can look back and say, wow, like, God and I did this together. He really brought a lot of good out of this. Look how much wiser and stronger and joyful I am now than I was before that. I didn't want to go through it. It stunk, but I'm a better person. I'm in a better place, and I feel like I can trust God more. And so we looked at James 1, 2 through 4 today to remind us that with God we can get through it and end up in a better place.
We're taking your calls about joy today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Would you like to be a more joyful person? Well, what challenges in your life or relationships are stealing your joy? What's making it difficult to be that joyful person you'd like to be, or you feel like God's calling you to be? Or do you have somebody in your life who is joyless and is just sucking all the joy out of your life? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights about joy right after the break.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live-Stream Football button. The Gyrenes' homecoming opponent will be the Weber Warriors, game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
Christ is the answer. With Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room. with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, "Don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach." Jesus' answer was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Finding the Light, as we talk about the struggle to find that light of joy in our lives. What is stealing the joy in your life?
Who is stealing the joy in your life?
If you've got something or someone that's making it hard for you to be the joyful person you'd like to be, or you've got a joyless person in your life that's sucking all the joy out of your heart, we're here for that too. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Larry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I have faith. I am really a joyful person, happy all of the time, just to wake up. My wife is not so much. She's a skeptic and a very good woman. Very, very good woman. However, at 51 years of marriage, we live in a very good house, but because of her friends that have a 4 or 5 bedroom house, we live in a 3 bedroom. She wants a bigger house. Mm. The reason she wants a bigger house is because she says she wants more room. However, that would cost us an extra $1,600 a month in expenses, house note, a larger house twice the size that we have, but increase all the expenses.
And is it just for the two of you, Larry?
Yeah. I'm 72, she's 71.
Larry, when she says she wants more room, what does she want more room to do? Does she want the children and grandchildren to come home and visit? Does she want family and friends to be able to say, "Hey, we love Texas. We want to go down and visit"? Is she trying to bring more people into your circle, into your life, and be hospitable? Or is she just not telling you why in the world she wants such a big house at your age?
What you just said is correct. Exactly.
Which one?
She said two things.
I said two things. Which was I right about?
Actually, the part about having more room and more space to buy more things.
Because I didn't say that. I said, does she want more people in her life? Like, is she trying to get your kids and grandkids or extended family and friends to have a place to be? Is it that?
Well, yeah, I would like to say yes, but she does not like anybody coming to our house right now. Our children, our grandchildren.
Okay. So Larry, let me ask you this question. Do you guys pray together at all?
We do almost every day.
And tell me about how do you pray about this then?
Well, we don't pray about that. That's one thing we do.
How do you pray?
We pray about the health of our children, the health of each other, the nation.
Mm-hmm. I'd like you to pray about this.
It's time to get practical in your prayer. Because it's lovely to say, Lord, take care of these big things that are out of our control. Sometimes we have a little bit of pride, and we don't want to ask God to help us figure out the little tiny things in our lives or the things that feel bigger that we can actually work together to make or not make happen.
So, you know, God is the head of our home. As Christians, we believe that God is the actual leader of our household, right? And it's our job to discern what his plan is for our life. And, you know, and as the head of the household, that doesn't mean that you get to, you know, and you're not suggesting this, but I'm just putting that out there for other listeners. Being the head of the household doesn't mean that you're the one who makes the call and says what to do. Being the head of the household, it means you get to facilitate the process by which your family or you and your wife go to God and figure out what his plan is, right? And so as the head of the household, I'd like you to say, you know what, honey, we need to start praying about this. Here's how I want you to pray about it. I want you to say, Lord, I know what I want, and my wife knows what she wants. Please help us to know what you want, and help us to take care of each other while we figure it out. And I want you to pray that every day. And I want you to keep talking about what's on your heart about this, what your concerns are, what the advantages or disadvantages would be about, you know, all the different options you have available to you, staying put, getting the new house, anything else. But I want you to be doing that in the context of that prayer. Lord, I know what I feel on my heart. She knows what she feels on her heart. But you know what's best for us. Help us to know what your plan for our lives is, and please help us take care of each other while we work to figure it out. Because when we have that prayer, it opens up new avenues. In fact, you know, let's even leave grace aside for a second. There was a study at Northwestern University, and there's actually a TED Talk about it. Look up The Marriage Hack if you're interested, where they had couples come in, and they had the control group of couples go into a room and just say, they said, go and have a conversation about a difficult topic. And then they had the treatment group where they said, now, before we let you go talk about a difficult topic, we want you to imagine somebody who loves you both and wants the best for both of you. How would that person want you to have this conversation? Take a minute to think about it. Now go and have that talk. What they found was the couples who took that minute to think about the person who loved them both and wanted the best for both of them before they had the argument, those couples had less volatile discussions, were able to bounce back from difficult conversations more quickly. And when they checked back in on those couples a year later, they found that their marriages continued to improve, even from having just taught them that to do that once. Now, as Christians, we don't have to imagine that there's somebody who loves us both and wants the best for both of us. We know that person, and it's God. And when we take a moment to go to God and say, okay, Lord, you know, I know you love us best and know us both best and love us both, and you want the best for both of us. Help us to I know what I want, and she knows what she wants. Help us to know what you want, and help us to take care of each other while we work to figure it out. And it really orients you to what the job really is. Supporting each other in the desires of your hearts, in the longings that you have, but ultimately submitting all that to the Lord and asking him to teach you what his will is for your life and relationships so that you can have the life that he wants for you. I'm going to encourage you to use that process, but I'm also going to encourage you to go through our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which is all about this kind of prayer life that invites God into the center of every part of your marriage and gives him lordship over where you're going to live and how you live and how you relate to each other and treat each other and what his will is for you next. It's going to change everything for you, Larry, I think, especially this issue. We have especially look at the chapter on discernment as a couple in Praying For and With Your Spouse, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But I think that's really got to be the answer here, Larry. You know, you both know what you want, but it's really important to take some time to pray together about what God wants for the both of you and how you can continue to take care of each other while you work to figure it out. Thanks so much for the call, Larry. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And listeners, you can pick up that book I was just mentioning, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, or all the other resources we mentioned on the program today, including learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more about that program at CatholicCounselors.com. And don't forget to get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
Been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.